Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he's looking for people. He's looking for soldiers. People who will contend for the faith. Some people don't contend for the faith like they could. A lot of people love God. And a lot of people serve God under attack, under duress. They serve God. Some people are, they believe in God for their lives. Their persecution is so bad because of where they live. They're around a lot of people who are terrorists or people who hate them for Christ's sake. And it's a blessing to live in America where you're around many people who are Christians. But it's such a blessing to see people who love God and will contend for the faith, who will stand, who will fight the good fight. Apostle Paul knew better than most. He and Peter and the other apostles, they knew the hatred that was set against Jesus Christ. And they understood it well. And they endeavored to serve God anyway. They loved God. And they took the gospel very serious. And some people in America, they don't, you know, if persecution arises, they run and not fight. But those that love the Lord their God and will endeavor to contend for the faith, that, my friend, is a blessing. Now, some people, they're praying just to live through the day because they're under attack in other countries. Some families have disowned their loved ones that have become Christians. They disinherited them. All forms of persecution. But let me say this to anybody that is persecuted. Jesus loves you and Jesus knows what you go through because he was the first one persecuted because he died. Now, I have to rephrase that. He's the Savior that was persecuted. And he's the first one persecuted because he's the one that Satan was trying to stop. Every war that broke out is because Satan was afraid of the seed of woman. So Jesus is the first one persecuted, but not the first man persecuted. Many people were persecuted because of Jesus, because that's who Satan was after, but he didn't know who the seed of woman was. And like I said in other broadcasts, Cain murdered his brother Abel because Satan was afraid of the seed of woman, and Abel gave a greater gift than Cain did. So Satan has influence when people are in rebellion. Anybody that gets in deception, Satan has influence in their lives. Anybody that is deceived and anybody that is in rebellion, Satan has much influence in their lives. Eve was deceived. Satan was involved in her decision-making process because she was lied to and she believed a lie. So the persecution you face, you're not the first person to face it. And you won't be the last. But I love God. And I love him with all my heart. I confess that I will do all this in his heart. And I know Satan hates it. And Satan has tried to kill me before. And he couldn't do it. Because I know who I am in Christ. We have authority over him. Satan is outclassed. If you submit your life to God and take authority that God has given you over him. Our authority is given to us. It's a grace. It's a blessing. It's a grace. But those who love this world, they even Satan is against them too. But they that love the world system and are willing to persecute others, they have a worse thing coming than persecution. And that's the judgment of God. Now, with that, God would rather save them than judge them. And I would rather see even the worst people in the world, I would rather see them get saved and live forever than to fall into God's hands. Because he would rather save them than destroy them. And all the judgments that's coming on the earth, according to Revelation, it's designed to cause men to repent. But sin hardens people's hearts so bad that none of the wicked will understand. And the wicked will do wickedly. But if you love God and you know you love God and you know that people will persecute you, you're not a sitting duck. You have authority over Satan. Now, I don't bother to fight foot soldiers all day. I just start with the head. That's how you, in nature, that's how you kill a serpent. You crush his head. Jesus, when the Lord said that, when he talked about the seed of woman, he said he gave us a clue to how to win. He said to the serpent, you'll bruise his heel and he'll bruise your head. We're going to bruise Satan's head with our heel in the name of Jesus. So every time I hear arguments, gunfights, any form of strife brewing, I just tell Satan, stop it. I say, you can't hinder it. You can't do what you're doing. You can't. When I used to hear the gunfights in the Woodlawn area of Birmingham, I used to say, Satan, you can't kill anybody and you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. And the spirit of death couldn't work either. Because the whole thing was set up. It was a plan set up by Satan. And I cut it off. All the demonic activity had to stop. Well, preacher, how could you believe that? What choice did I have? God gave us authority over all the power of the enemy, and it's up to us to use it. If a rich man gives you a blank check, it's up to you to write it out and cash it. It's a good check. Because he's rich. There's money in the bank. So it is with the grace of God. God's grace don't bounce. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And if it's sufficient for Paul, it's sufficient for me. And if it's sufficient for me, it's sufficient for you. So take up arms. Arm yourself with the weapons of this warfare. According to Ephesians chapter 6, arm yourselves with the weapon of the warfare. The shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit. Use what God has given you. The grace is stronger than the weak world. The world system is dependent. Even the world system exists because of the mercy of God and the grace of God. The only reason he don't come back and destroy the world because of the covenant he made with Adam. He has to honor, he's honoring his word. 6,000 years man will run the earth. The 7,000 year Jesus run the earth. We're out of time. In a few moments we're going to be raptured out of here. Any day now, the return of the Lord is imminent. Imminent means any day now, any time now. He's going to come back and meet us in midair, take us off the earth. And when this happens, you'll be in heaven. The war will be over for you and me and all who believe and all who stay true to the word. The hypocrites and all those that love the world, they'll be left here. People that commit adultery, fornication, the witches, and people that have deviated and went to the world system, they'll be here. And the Lord's going to leave them here. Because they chose another route. They chose the distracting ways of the world. They went the road of deception. and left their first love. Now, Jesus is the contender of heaven. He is the captain of the Lord's host. He's not just our Savior. He's not going to let anything go in heaven that defiles heaven. Everybody that go to heaven will be clean. They will be washed in his blood. They will be people that believed on him and loved God. And they are not going to deviate and go back to this world. And no mistakes will be made. Those that go to heaven, they went on purpose. And those that go to hell, they went on purpose. When you, as a man of God and as a minister, and as, even as a Christian, I've tried to talk people out of the world. When people have their hearts set on the world, they will tell you to back off. They don't tell me how to live my life, preacher. Now, when people talk like that, I know they mean business. They are in love with this world and they're not going to change. And I don't make people's mind up for them. That's not my jurisdiction. That's their jurisdiction. My assignment is to preach God's word so they can share in the hope that Jesus already graciously provided. It's up to them. They don't have to go to heaven. Nobody has to go if they don't want to. But if they want to, they are welcome. And I let people know God loves you and you are welcome. And we talked this morning about how some people you can win with compassion. And some people you have to pull them out of the fire, rebuking them, preaching fire and brimstone. But I love the Holy Spirit. I love the rightly divided word of God. I love how he teaches us and show us things. To me, I value that. When people love the world, they don't value that. They stop valuing the things of God. And that's not good for them. I love God and I love his people. If you love God, you love his people too. If you respect a man, you respect his family. If I love a man and I respect him, my friend, all of my friends, then I'm not going to slander his wife. I'm going to respect him. If I care about him, I care about his whole house. I love God. I love his whole house. I love his people. And even the people in the world that don't deserve God, which none of us did in the first place, I love them too. Because some people don't always understand what's going to happen. They don't understand the lateness of the hour. But I thank God we have the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, help us understand, help us to be victorious in our lives so that we can be a greater blessing to others. I value that. I value the Holy Spirit. And because I value the Holy Spirit, I study the Word so that I can know him. He is a person. And because I value him, and I value his company and all that he has to say, I thank God for him. I study his Word. Now, when I study the Word of God, I want to know as much as I can receive. I want to know the things that God, want to. Sometimes I can tell the Lord's trying to share some things with me. And if I'm at work trying to work and my mind is on many things, and I can sense that the Lord wants to tell me something. At night, when everything's quiet, the whole house is quiet, right before I go to sleep, I say, Lord, what is it? Give me a scripture. What is it you want to share with me? And he'll give me a scripture and it alerts my attention to what he's trying to share with me. Give God a chance to share things with you. Now, I suspect that a lot of times people don't do that because they're trying to They trust that there are things in the world that's not all bad. And sometimes I believe people try to live as close as they can to the world without going overboard or without getting in trouble. Whenever that's the case, people don't seek God out like they normally could. I watch to listen to what makes people tick. And God is not always on the top of people's conversations. I wish it was, because I know what would happen if it was, if people really love God like they could. I know for a fact, especially intelligent people. I know some people, they're just very intelligent. They can read, they can write, they're articulate. They can learn things. When I talk to them about an engine, for instance, that's not their field. But because they're intelligent, I can explain it and they can understand it. Now, in life, there are people out there, they have the ability to understand life. Life. They can understand life and how it works. They understand the love of God. They understand the passion of Jesus, how he loves his people. They know all this. But for whatever reason, they won't study the word of God to know him, to draw near on their own. They'll talk to somebody that's doing it. And even in that, they hold back. I've noticed sometimes people don't want to know, but so much. They want to know enough to get saved, enough to get out of that ditch. They're not really trying to know God, because sometimes I believe they're afraid that he may call them to the ministry, or he may give them an assignment. Some people are afraid of the assignments. I don't know. Now, I'm just speculating. That's all I can do, because I'm not in their head. I don't know what they think. But I go by how people act and how they seem. But they'll spend all day watching TV or whatever they do. They'll talk about football to no end. And they love God. They know it's in their best interest to be saved. And most of the time they'll get saved and they'll live the life. But we're all missing out because people don't follow God. They don't draw near to him so he can draw near to them. And all I can do is ask the question, why? And speculate. Now, the only reason I'm saying this now is because of a thought I had. And I'm going to use a comical illustration to show you what I'm talking about. Sometimes people want to live this life. They want to know where the margin is, where the line between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And they kind of live right on the safe edge of it. Now, when I was growing up, the Warner Brothers made some funny cartoons, and I used to just get a kick out of them. I thought it was slapstick coming, and it was funny to me. And knowing it's a cartoon, nobody got hurt, but they would just, they would rag each other. And it was funny because, it was a cartoon. One of my favorite characters, not my favorite character, but one of them was Foghorn Leghorn, that chicken. And there was a dog in the yard. And he was tied to his house with a rope. And he couldn't go but so far. So the chicken, that rooster, Foghorn Leghorn, would aggravate that dog and run past the rope line. And then the dog would go as far as he could. And then Foghorn Leghorn would mark a line. That's as far as the dog could come. And so when he aggravate the dog and the dog chase him, he'll run to the edge of that line. And when the dog get there, he'll paddle him. He'll paddle that dog and run to that line, and he'll be safe. And the dog he couldn't get past that line. But one day the dog outsmarted him. He went to the edge of that line and he drew another line on the inside of the rope line. And he erased the other one. So when Foghorn Leghorn came and paddled him and ran past the line, he stopped. And the dog got him because he erased the true rope line and made a false rope line. Now, when people keep on living close to the margin, between, you know, at the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, Satan's going to eventually move the margin and trick you. Sin hardens the heart. Satan is trying to change your focus in the first place. Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Every part of you will be full of light if you receive his word. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because it takes courage to draw near to the Lord. It takes bravery. You have to be brave to do this because you're talking to the Lord and he has a right to tell you to do whatever you need to be doing. And when we value God and we draw near to him, study his word and seek to know him, you're going to find out. If you're brave enough, you're going to find out that he loves you and he has your best interests at heart. And he will not do you wrong. Now, cold religion came to throw a wrench in the work to reduce what God has done. Satan will not tell the truth about God. So sometimes people don't draw near like they would if they understood God better. And if they would study the word of God, they will understand God better. And they're living close to the margin of the rope line. They want to be in the kingdom of God. They don't want to be lost because they know it's bad. Don't look at the margin of this world trying to live there. Run to God's will, the center of God's will, and live there. That's where, if you can do that, my friend, you're going to be increased. Your knowledge and your abilities will increase. Your ability to understand the plan of God will increase. God is going to give you clarity, revelation. And I say that, I call it clarity revelation because it's going to be revelation to you and it's going to be clarity. And you're going to be able to judge properly when you receive this clarity revelation. And he did it for me. He told me things about myself. He told me things about him. He told me things about the kingdom. He told me things about the ministry. He told me things about the people that I minister to. He showed me what he's looking for. And I used to be, sometimes that was, I would wonder why did God guide me the way he did. I expected things to be altogether different. But I kept doing what he said. And then I got curious. I said, I just want to see what's going to happen. What is he guiding me to do? And why? I kept doing what he kept guiding me to do. And everything he guided me to do is one. It's a blessing. And it's going to work. And I know that God is good. And I desire with all my heart for others to do no different. Release yourself to worship God, to give him you. A lot of times people focus on how much money they're going to bless God with or all this, all the things they can do for God. Give him you. Present yourself a living sacrifice. That's more important than any amount of money that you can possibly give him. A rich man can give him billions, but God would rather have the rich man than all of his money. The tithe would be sufficient. But more than that, God wants you. Well, I'm saved. I belong to him. Yeah, but that you can belong to God and not be yielded to God. You can belong to God and be contrary to God. Most people are. They may have done everything that God required of them, but they didn't present themselves a living sacrifice. That's two different things. It shouldn't be, but it is. Some people say that he's Lord, but they're slow to respond when he commands. We're not saved by works. That's a blessing. We're saved because we believe on Jesus Christ. But we ought to take it a step further, some steps further than that, and come to the point where we will contend for the faith, where we will do whatever God say. You don't have to be afraid. You will need courage one of the reasons you'll need courage is because the world has lied on God. And sometimes there are going to be times you think God is one way, and as you get to know him, he's like he is, not how you think. And he's given you sufficient grace to conquer any problem that you may have, my friend. But when you draw near to him and he starts dialoguing with you and talking to you, and you know, he can tell when you're holding back. He can tell when you restrict us. You creeping toward God, but you got something over there you want to keep doing. He can tell that. He can tell if you're afraid to step out. He know that you hope he really don't ask you to go to Africa. He know all of that. Now, stop worrying about it. Don't think about that. Enjoy him. And whatever he give you to do, you'll have a passion for it. You'll have a desire on the inside. That joy is in it. And as you begin to do it, your joy increases. And as you get strong in the Lord, nothing can stop you from doing whatever it is he said do. He'll give you a love for people, and you're going to want to be a blessing to him. He sent me to pastors, so I always said that I love pastors. I had a strong love for them. No matter how I was treated, and all of them didn't treat me well. So I was greatly misunderstood because of my assignment. But I loved them so much, I didn't care. So it is, you know, whatever God gives you to do, he'll train you for it. You'll be well prepared for it, and it's going to work. And people are going to be blessed. Be patient with the duration. And thank God for all the information he give you. It's going to work together for a common good. Everything he give you is one. It's not scary following God if you follow him. If you stop letting it be a mystery, it'll stop being a mystery. All you have to do is seek him and don't hold back. All I'm saying is have enough courage and bravery and love for his ways and his word and his people to not hold back. That's the theme of what I'm saying. And you'll walk away from the rope line and you'll go to the center of his will and you'll stop wondering where the margin is. And you can learn to hate the world system, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All those things restrict us. They work against us. But God is for us. And if you can receive this message, draw near to the Lord with all you got, with all you have, and say, yes, Lord, I want you to use me however you want to use me in the last few moments. Help me make a difference before you come back, if you can. And watch him move in your life. And the only reason I say it, if you can, because he's coming back soon. And I know the Lord can. You have something that he can use. And I thank God for every day he gives us to serve him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And he loves everybody. And he wants to save everybody that he can save. But next time, I'll see. I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.